Yes, we have perilous times, but doesn't the Bible predict that?
You got to understand, you have an establishment, and please know you need to continue to pray for Trump and everybody he's going to start assigning, because they're going into the crocodile pit, okay? You think the establishment is going to let this go by without any fight? You're out of your mind. These swamp creatures, they have committed themselves to those jobs and that money and that power, and they are not about to give it up.
Welcome to Understanding the Times Radio with Jan Markell, radio for the remnant, brought to you by Olive Tree Ministries. During this hour, we talk to Brandon Holdhouse, Mark Henry, and David Fiorazzo. Jan Markell opens our hour, and Ken Michael and Pastor Josh Schwartz conclude with part two. Here is today's programming.
Chair Turner, shortly after that, you said on this program, we have terrorists that are actively working inside the United States that are a threat to Americans. Do you know if there are active terror cells in the United States right now?
I think the issue of cells, and you and I were talking about that at the beginning of the show, are there individuals that are affiliated with ISIS and terrorist groups and organizations that have crossed the border that are inside the United States? Director Wray, FBI director, has said so. We certainly have intelligence that says so. I agree with his assessment. Jim has also seen it. He's testified before our committee publicly of that fact. Those individuals are working in conjunction with ISIS with the intention of harming Americans. The director has said it directly.
They are known U.S. intelligence and law enforcement.
And we are working diligently to try to take them down, to prevent them from doing so. And that's why the director is publicly saying such. And that's what the new administration is going to be handed. The fact that these individuals are here, that we need to locate them, we need to remove them, we need to bring them to justice and prevent them from doing harm to Americans.
So we ended the year, 2024, with the terrorist attack in New Orleans, with violence and chaos seemingly everywhere, with threats of even more. Per that little introductory clip there of House Intelligence Committee Chairman Mike Turner talking about the possibility of even more terror attacks. And you would think these are the perilous times of the last days, but it gets worse when it comes to evil being called good. A Presidential Medal of Freedom to George Soros? Really? Does this not capture the heart and evil and the lack of sound judgment on the part of leftists today? Talk about fulfilling Isaiah 5:20, calling evil good. In that, we are having an Understanding the Times night coming up Thursday, January 16th. I wanted to feature our special guest that evening, Brandon Holdhouse, co-host Pastor Mark Henry in studio with me. And the gathering is here in the Twin Cities, Brooklyn Park, Minnesota. It will be live streamed to the world that night and available post-program on our platforms, Rumble, YouTube, etc. And we will look at what might happen ahead for 2025 and beyond. In studio, Pastor Mark Henry, lead pastor, Revived Church, Brooklyn Park, Minnesota. You hear him frequently on Understanding the Times Radio. He's an author, and you may have read his book, The Man Code, 12 Priorities Every Man Needs to Know. And online, Pastor Brandon Holdhouse, Rock Harbor Church, Bakersfield, California. And you hear him very often here on Understanding the Times Radio. He's been to two previous conferences here in the Twin Cities, and I always make sure that our California guests come in the middle of January just to torment them. Brandon Holdhouse, welcome back to the program.
Thanks, Jan, for having me. It's always an honor, and thanks for torturing me by bringing me up from Minnesota.
I know we do it all the time, and I really do apologize. But anyway, we'll move on here. So, Brandon, we've got a deep state, and you've talked about this really effectively, I think. And the deep state, it's not gone away. It's sunk its roots in even more deeply, and it's sort of become the very deep state. We witnessed this even 10 days ago. The FBI can't even say, she didn't want to say, terrorist attack. This is the young lady with a ring in her nose or something. Give me your thoughts on the DEI, in other words.
This FBI agent, Alethea Duncan, obviously it's against FBI rules to wear a nose piercing. A lot of people are calling her a DEI hire. She comes out and she can't even explain that we had an Islamic terrorist attack by a guy who said he joined ISIS and a guy that said he's following ISIS, who was going to murder his family first for apostates. And the FBI won't address that. So what happens, we have 14 people murdered by an Islamic jihadist, 35 injured by plowing his truck through a crowd of people on New Year's Eve. And we have an FBI agency that is part of the deep state. And this goes back to Obama erasing a lot of the nomenclature and language in the manuals of how to deal with Islamic terrorists. And Jan, this goes back to even when Phil Haney was alive at the Department of Homeland Security, where Obama erased all this language, and these guys can't even call it Islamic terrorists. And I watched the imam of where this guy attended the mosque in Houston, this Din Jabbar. And the imam said this: the Jews created havoc wherever they went on the face of the earth. Allah turned some of them into monkeys, pigs, and rats. That's the imam that this guy was listening to. I wonder if the FBI is going to go after that. But no, they're not, because the top echelon of the FBI and the CIA and the State Department and the DOJ and the Pentagon are part of a deep state. And here's the thing, what people need to realize. Yes, I celebrate that Trump got in. Thank God. But just the simple election of Donald Trump doesn't guarantee that these institutions are going to change. In fact, what I already hear them saying is they're going to resist him.
Mark Henry, the FBI has been busy pursuing, as we all know, white supremacists, pro-life grandmothers here in America, overlooking Islamic terror, some 12 to 20 million unknowns, in many cases, crossed our border. But this is not really strange to those of us in Minnesota. Again, land of 10,000 lakes and 10,000 terrorists.
Jen, you know, you and I have been talking about this. Brandon's been talking about it. All of us have been talking. This open border creates a situation where the enemies of America, the enemies of the West, can infiltrate and plant all sorts of terrorist groups, smuggle all sorts of things across the border. I was just down on the Arizona border. I saw what the Trump wall has done. You could see the old encampments that were in the various washes, and where that Trump wall was, it has stopped that. This actually works. Walls have worked for protecting cities throughout history and nations, and Israel's a good illustration of that, the wall that they have along the Jordan River Valley. It's very effective. And so, praise God, Trump's in office. Let's finish up some of these things. Let's close up that border. But the threats are already embedded.
Isn't this talk of a shadow government, Brandon, is this not just conspiratorial?
Yeah, I wish it was a conspiracy theory, but it's actually a real conspiracy. And the first term of Donald Trump obviously exposed that. People now understand there is a shadow government going on. Now, they end up saying it.
Yeah.
And just recently, November 14th, a speech given by Representative Wiley Nichols of North Carolina, 13th District, and he's on the House floor saying this, Jan. He said, "We simply failed to convince the American people that we have better ideas to solve their problems. But we do now need to dust ourselves off and get ready to fight. We can't let Donald Trump's extreme MAGA agenda go unanswered or unopposed. We got to go from zone defense into man-to-man." Then he goes, "We need to borrow from our British friends and appoint a shadow cabinet to fight back against the worst abuses of the second Trump administration."
Here's Representative Nichol, Democrat from North Carolina.
"If Trump attempts to weaponize the justice system against his political opponents with Matt Gaetz at the helm, we could see incoming Senator Adam Schiff as our shadow attorney general, arguing against replacing our independent prosecutors with Trump loyalists. If Trump seeks to eliminate the Department of Education, Congresswoman Johanna Hayes, a former Teacher of the Year, could step up as shadow education secretary to loudly defend public education in the United States. If Trump orders Marco Rubio to hand Ukraine and much of Eastern Europe to Russian President Vladimir Putin, Congressman Greg Meeks, as shadow secretary of state, could be a strong voice in support of maintaining international relationships and protecting democracy at home and abroad. Senator Michael Bennett as shadow treasury secretary, and Congresswoman Susan DelBene as shadow commerce secretary could help ensure the middle class and small businesses have a voice in government and call out Trump's proposed tax cuts for billionaires and corporations. As shadow defense secretary, Congressman Adam Smith, a great representative for the people of Washington and not a Fox News host, could counter Trump's threat to use military force against his political opponents and work to ensure that the Department of Defense stays loyal to the Constitution and not some wannabe dictator. And Senator Tammy Duckworth could argue against cuts to the Department of Veterans Affairs that would delay the benefits and care our service members have so rightly earned. If Trump hands over the EPA to big oil ally Lee Zeldin, we could see Congresswoman Kathy Castor pushing back for environmental protection and conservation to protect the air we breathe and the water we drink. And if Trump pushes to ban abortion nationwide, Congresswoman Rosa DeLauro could step in as Shadow Secretary of Health and Human Services to defend women's right to choose and argue against the gutting of Medicare by Trump and his cronies. Mr. Speaker, new times require new solutions. The Shadow Cabinet isn't just about opposing extreme MAGA attacks on our government. It's also about making clear what we stand for, not just what we're against.
Mark Henry, just what we need is this purple-haired lady in charge of Health and Human Services. These folks are radicals and they're dangerous.
Absolutely, they're dangerous, Jan. When I heard that clip, the first thing I thought, DOJ right now needs to go after this because they have a sworn duty, and all law enforcement and everybody in the military, to protect this country and the Constitution of the United States from threats internal and external. This is an internal threat that has been laid out right in public. And they have the audacity to say, we're going to protect the Constitution of the United States and we're going to protect against this dictator. These are dictators who set up these sorts of revolutionary actions. I pray to God that law enforcement will rise to the occasion.
If you just joined me, you're listening to Understanding the Times Radio. I'm Jan Markell. I have on the line from California, Pastor Brandon Holthaus, Rock Harbor Church, Bakersfield, California, rockharborchurch.net. In studio, Pastor Mark Henry, Revive Church, Brooklyn Park, Minnesota. That is because we're having Understanding the Times night Thursday, January 16th, here in the Minneapolis Twin Cities area. You can live stream it, markhenryministries.com. You can watch it post-program on our various websites, on YouTube, on Rumble. Brandon, give me a paragraph on where you see things going in 2025, because that's what we want to look at that night.
A couple of things I'm going to bring out that night is the legislative and state resistance to Donald Trump, and this is part of the deep state. For instance, you have Gavin Newsom open the special session in California, getting ready to fund the resistance to Donald Trump. And again, to remind everybody, when Trump was in his first term in California, Gavin Newsom filed over 100 lawsuits against the Trump administration. You got Kathy Hochul in New York gearing up to go and file lawsuits against Trump. Then in Massachusetts, you have the same governor doing the same thing, getting ready to sue Trump. And just to remind everybody, they sued Trump 96 times in Massachusetts last time. Then you have the governor of Arizona, Katie Hobbs, saying that she is not going to participate in the deportation of illegal aliens in her state. You have the Phoenix mayor, Gallego, saying they're not going to allow police to participate in the plan. So what you have is they're forming coalitions in blue states to resist Donald Trump's immigration policies, and they're not going to participate. Now, can they do that? No, that's illegal. And actually, they'll go to jail for that. So the question is, will Donald Trump put these mayors and put these governors in jail? And if he does, then you have a spark that could ignite the deep state against him in many different ways. You also have the judicial system that's going to continue to do the lawfare against them that we saw even when he was running for presidency last year. What you have from the deep state is the institutions still have the same types of individuals that are there, and they're going to do everything they can to resist him. So it's going to get really hot. And what I mean by hot is there's going to be sparks that fly when Donald Trump is starting to put mayors in jail for not doing what they need to do for immigration, or governors go to jail. Sparks are going to fly.
Mark Henry, I think this gives new meaning to the term end time lawlessness that the Bible speaks of.
Absolutely. The founding fathers said that our system of government, a constitutional republic, can't function without a moral people. And what Brandon just said is so clear. You can't have immoral judges using our own system. The judges need to stand up and say, no, this is frivolous. This is wrong. We're not hearing any of this, and stop all of this insanity. But if you don't have a moral people, if you don't have a people that fear God, it's absolutely impossible. Jan, I've often said this, America is not in biblical prophecy. Yeah. How in the world would our country be dismantled? Well, when you profess to be wise, like these ISIS individuals or these liberals who are systematically Marxist destroying the country, trying to create a revolution, they profess to be wise, but they are fools. So we're seeing this dismantling. May God give us grace. May God give Donald Trump success. But Brandon is absolutely right. It's so deeply embedded.
Any other thoughts, Brandon? I might change topics here a little bit, but I don't want to cut you off here. Go ahead.
just more examples of the resistance that we're talking about. Governors of both Illinois and Colorado recently has launched an initiative called the Governor Safeguarding Democracy. What they're going to do, quote, is work together to uphold and certify American democracy, unquote. What does that mean for them? These are leftist governors that are saying we're going to safeguard democracy, which, again, we're not a democracy. We're a constitutional republic. But they're forming their alliances, Jan, to resist Donald Trump and continue their ungodly ways of managing our country and our state. You have what's brewing, a cold civil war with a deep state right now. And just because we elected Donald Trump doesn't mean this cold war is over. They're not going to allow their power to cease. And they truly believe that what they're doing is moral. They really believe they have the right ideas and they're not letting go of this. So they're going to fight tooth and nails for it.
So true. Mark, you had some thoughts.
Janice, you and I think about this deep state and this is being described. It just reminds me that there's always been deep states and that God can work in spite of that. So I don't think we should lose heart. I think Daniel chapter 8 is a great illustration of that. Daniel is serving under Darius the king. There's some guys who want to get rid of him. They can't get rid of him. So they decide to talk to Darius and they make a deal and say, you know what? You're such a great king. No one should pray to anybody but you for 30 days, knowing that Daniel would continue to pray to his God. And Daniel does. And you remember the bad guys set the trap. They get Daniel, they throw him into the lion's den. God preserves him. And before it's all said and done, the guys that are in the deep state that did all the wicked planning to destroy Daniel are thrown into the lion's den and they are consumed. That's what we need to pray, that God would allow the wicked to be caught in their own traps, because it's going to take the hand of God to navigate this. We've seen the hand of God preserve Donald Trump to become president of the United States again. It's going to take the hand of God for him to be able to deal with the deep state, evil workers, planners, plotters, I mean, those who are executing such things.
Mark, we have coming up next spring, right now as we're freezing here in Minnesota, but May 20th, 21st, 22nd, we're going to have our pastor's huddle here in Minneapolis, St. Paul. It's co-sponsored Mark Henry Ministries, markhenryministries.com, and Olive Tree Ministries. Give us a sentence on it because we want pastors to come, and we pay a lot of the expenses for them.
We just want to invite all of you pastors, or if you've got a pastor that you love, we want to encourage you to send them to the huddle. We've had great groups of guys come. We've had great teaching on various topics such as dispensational understanding of Daniel and Revelation, hermeneutics. This time we're going to be talking about Israel itself, ministering to Jewish people. One of our board members here at Understanding the Times, Trevor Rubenstein, is a great servant of Jesus, and he's going to be sharing with us about some of the things with Israel and sharing the gospel with Jewish people. And we're going to have some other speakers to be announced. We'd like to invite all of you pastors, May 20th, 21st, and 22nd.
It's here in the Twin Cities area, folks. Wanted to just send off an email today to josh@olivetreeviews.org, josh@olivetreeviews.org. That goes to our own Pastor Josh Schwartz. Again, folks, the evening is Thursday, January the 16th, here in the Twin Cities area, Revive Church, Brooklyn Park, Minnesota, 7 p.m. Central. There's no cost, no registration. You just show up and there'll be plenty of seating. Brandon Holthouse will be our special guest for the evening, looking at what's ahead for 2025. Some of the areas, we can't hit them all here in the time that we have today, but we're going to hit a whole lot of them that evening with the panel discussion and more. Brandon, anything else you want to say about January the 16th?
What also I'm going to add is the church's response and reaction to what just happened last year.
Yes.
And unfortunately, I think what I'm seeing is a disturbing trend of letting their guard down and thinking that, okay, we got Trump in, everything's going back to normal, and it's actually not. The church is not prepared for what is about to happen, especially in their particular states. And how do I know? I could just tell with the kinds of Christmas programs churches put on. They were not even focusing on the birth of the Messiah. You had churches that had Santa Claus and reindeer flying around with firework. You had pastors dressing up like the Grinch. That doesn't tell me that these guys are preparing for a spiritual battle that's happening. They're playing around. They're not thinking they're in a battle. So the guard is down. I want to talk a little bit more about that on January 16th.
Well, good. Folks, we carry Megan Basham's book, Shepherds for Sale, How Evangelical Leaders Traded the Truth for a Leftist Agenda. That's a little bit what we're talking about here. Brandon, you and I could name these. We're not going to, but some of these pastors are prominent. For that matter, they're solid. We've got people listening to them, and these guys are giving some solid messages, but some things happen.
Something has definitely happened spiritually, and it traces all the way back to 4 or 5 years ago. It's been in a steady decline, and then you had the Israel thing that happened on October 7th last year, and the churches decided to stay silent about that. Not all of them, but majority of them. And then you have this election that came up, and it was another division that happened in the church where we had people telling people not to vote. So then we get Trump in there, and then people start relaxing. The pastor's definitely relaxing and not realizing the war has just begun with the deep state. If you really think everything's going to change just because Donald Trump got in, you're out of your mind. They are not relinquishing power. Well, what does that mean? It's not just a political issue. And this is what Christians fail to understand. They think it's just a political issue. These are spiritual issues. Every issue the deep state has is part of the whore of Babylon and the coming one world government. This is what people are failing to understand.
We need to put this into an eschatological context. Mark Henry, your thoughts here, please.
Janice, we just see again the increase of lawlessness everywhere, and leaders just seeing the Freedom Award given to someone who is a traitor to the country.
Exactly.
I don't know what else to say other than that. And so you look at every moral issue. These are moral issues, and God speaks to moral issues, and God judges nations because of moral issues and how they treat Israel. And all of these things are coming together. There's always going to be evil actors in the background. Ahasuerus, when he was king of Persia, you remember Haman wanted to destroy the Jews. He plotted and planned, and everything was coming together for him, and God turned that on a dime. And the good news is, while Satan is always trying to create the destruction and the death, God is always at work, and he is going to preserve Israel, and he's going to preserve his people, and he's going to build his church in spite of it all. We just got to keep being faithful to God.
I'm glad you said that, Mark. Folks, Brandon Holthaus is the pastor in the church that offers the Church Finder at his website. If you'd like to access that and look up some churches that they deem to be solid. Brandon, the best website for that would be which?
Go to rockharborchurch.net, and you'll find our church tracker. Look in your area, see if you find something there. You might have to drive a couple hours, but it will be worth it. We've screened these churches, and their pastor matches it with actually their statement of faith, and they're pro-Israel, they're dispensational, they have our eschatology, and the pastor's not afraid to speak to the things that are going on in the world. Hopefully there's one near you, but it's like finding gold these days.
Yeah, we need to clarify that it's gone down from several thousand to a few hundred because you're checking on things and things fall through the crack.
Exactly. We were basing a lot of that on their statement of faith. What we found out is a lot of these pastors, they don't agree with their church's statement of faith. So we dropped them. The other thing that we dropped people last year is on their issue of Israel. Mm-hmm. They had said they supported Israel, but they were completely silent. And look, they have been given 14, 15 months now to be able to talk about Israel and even pray for Israel, and they haven't done anything.
Brandon, October 7th was a dividing line, is what you're saying.
I think it was a spiritual dividing line of God showing who's on what side. Mm-hmm. And I ended up dropping a bunch of them that didn't support Israel. If you can't even bring your church to have a prayer for Israel and talk about the issue of what Hamas did, I'm dropping you off the church tracker. Because your pro-Israel stance, you say you support Israel, but you have no skin in the game.
Yeah.
So now we're down from 1,400 to 200 churches.
That's disappointing to a lot of people listening. They want one down the street from where they live. That's probably not going to happen. There is one, Twin Cities Revived Church, Brooklyn Park, Minnesota. Mark Henry, you and I have been doing this 3 years approximately. I think we began with Michelle Bachman in the summer 3 years ago. MarkHenryMinistries.com. Evaluate some of the presentations we've had. I think they've been effective, helping people understand the times, contend for the faith, become watchmen on the wall.
We've had people, you know, from all over the country, and quite honestly, Jan, all around the world.
All saying, around the world.
Thank you so much for having these events and sharing them. And we had one of the guys in our church, been praying for his family for years. They live in a different state. He reached out to him and said, you know, you ought to watch Jan and Mark in this next Thursday night event. And they watched it. And then they started watching all the rest of them, Jan, and I had the chance to go over and speak to them. God's doing an amazing work in that family's life. God's answering a prayer because of what we're doing. And we're seeing that over and over again. Thank you for making the sacrifice. And thank you to all you out there who have had watch parties and are leveraging this in the last days for the glory of Jesus Christ.
Again, that's Thursday, January the 16th, 7849 West Broadway, Brooklyn Park, Minnesota, 7 p.m. Central. Watch it online or post-program. MarkHenryMinistries.com, 7 p.m. Central Time, no cost. Gentlemen, thank you so much. I'm so looking forward. It'll be a very interesting evening. Brandon, thank you again for leaving California for the Midwest here where it's the frozen chosen, and we need you to come minister here.
It's always good to be with remnant believers no matter yes. where we're at, and that's what I'm looking forward to.
You just said a really key word, Brandon, and that's remnant believers. And I think if we can close on a really positive note, and you said to me on the phone the other day, the remnant church is alive. They may be few in numbers, but they are alive and well. Thank you for what you're doing for them, both of you, Brandon and Mark Henry. Folks, just a quick update here. I've got a new book coming out in a month, Understanding the Times, Making Sense of the Chaos Leading to Earth's Final Days, published by Harvest House. It is under $9, so it can be read in a few hours. It's a short commentary on our times. And if you'll pre-order it, and the industry likes to have you do that on Amazon.com, because then the secular retailers see this and order the book. We get it in Target, Walmart, get the gospel message. So would you pre-order on Amazon.com, Understanding the Times, Making Sense of the Chaos Leading to Earth's Final Days, a book with a gospel message. Again, after February 4th, you can order through Olive Tree. It will retail for less than $9. Again, pre-order. It's a book published by Harvest House, Amazon.com. Coming up in part two of our program, Ken Michael and Pastor Josh Schwartz have an important conversation with David Fiorazzo. Please don't go away.
We hope you'll stay in touch with us online through olivetreeviews.org. That's olivetreeviews.org. You can call us Central Time at 763-559-4444. That's 763-559-4444. Write us through the mail at Olive Tree Ministries and Jan Markell, Post Office Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota 55311. That's Post Office Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota 55311. In this age of fake news and false teaching, thank you for trusting Understanding the Times Radio and Olive Tree Ministries. There are so many questions about the eternity God has prepared for the believer. Will we have bodies in heaven? Will we recognize other people, such as our friends and family? What does having a future in heaven mean for us while still here on earth? Author and illustrator Todd Hampson answers dozens of questions about our future in his newest book, The Nonprofit's Guide to Heaven. Discover what the Bible says about the wonders of eternity. He outlines an informative overview of what happens between now and eternity. The book is packed with engaging infographics and insight and will transform your understanding of heaven and the afterlife while energizing you to live more boldly in the present. Find The Nonprofit's Guide to Heaven in our online store at olivetreeviews.org. That's olivetreeviews.org. Or call our office at 763-559-4444. That's 763-559-4444.
We need to be talking about these things. Why aren't certain pastors talking about these things? I think they don't want to lose congregants. They don't want to lose a tithe. And that comes to any controversial biblical issue that they call political, that they're avoiding from the pulpit. They're self-censoring. I believe that's wrong. I think probably most of your listeners also believe that's wrong. We should be addressing every issue because it is biblical.
We know you can't always be by a radio. So if you miss a program, visit our website, olivetreeviews.org. That's olivetreeviews.org. And then go to radio, where we feature both the audio and video version of our program. You can also catch the program at oneplace.com, on our Rumble or YouTube channel, on all of our social media, and on his channel, Christian TV. In part two of our programming, Ken Michael and Pastor Josh Schwartz talk to David Fiorazzo. Here's the balance of today's programming.
President Biden is giving the Presidential Medal of Freedom to a new batch of recipients. It is a star-studded ceremony.
You know, it's amazing. Your innovation, you inspire, you bring healing and joy to so many lives.
Hillary Rodham Clinton. Through it all, her career has been dedicated to an eternal truth. America's ideals are sacred, and we must always defend and live by them.
I'm here to give you an update on the FBI's investigation of Secretary Clinton's use of a personal email system during her time as Secretary of State. Our investigation looked at whether there is evidence that classified information was improperly stored or transmitted on that personal system in violation of a federal statute that makes it a felony to mishandle classified information either intentionally or in a grossly negligent way.
The Presidential Medal of Freedom is awarded to George Soros. Born into a Jewish family in Hungary, George Soros escaped Nazi occupation to build a life of freedom for himself and countless others around the world. Educated in England, he settled in America as he became an investor and philanthropist, supporting key pillars of open societies: rights and justice, equity and equality, freedom now and in the future. His inspiring generosity reminds us all of our capacity and our obligation to stand up to the abuse of power and to be guardians of democracy and all people yearning to be free.
In the last 2 years, you've been blamed for financial collapse of Thailand, Malaysia, Indonesia, Japan, and Russia.
All of the above.
All of the above. Yeah. Are you that powerful?
No, I think there's a great misunderstanding. I am basically there to make money.
Which George Soros am I talking to now? The amoral George Soros or the moral George Soros?
It's one person who at one time engages in amoral activities and at the rest of the time tries to be moral.
Welcome to Understanding Our Times. I'm Ken Michael, and joining me is Pastor Josh Schwartz. The Presidential Medal of Freedom is given out yearly to honor those who the President of the United States deems worthy. The medal is awarded to those who have contributed to national security, world peace, and other significant cultural endeavors. We'll talk about these issues and more with our guest today. He's an author, host of the weekly podcast Worldview Matters. His website is davidfiorazzo.com. He's been a previous guest on our program. We'd like to welcome David Fiorazzo. David, thanks for joining us today.
God bless you. Happy New Year. Great to see and hear you guys. And I'm still shaking my head at some of those awards, the Medal of Freedom.
As are we. David, there are a number of people who received this medal just last weekend, but we want to focus on a couple of those recipients of this prestigious award. It's given out by the President of the United States for honorary reasons. Let's start out with Hillary Clinton. Give us your take on Hillary. Is she deemed worthy of receiving this award?
Absolutely not. But I think there's a lot of Americans that don't know how corrupt she is, thanks to the liberal Marxist media in America that covered for her and still cover for her. We have a one-sided system, unfortunately. A lot of those on the liberal left are above the law if you're a progressive or a liberal Democrat. And it's sad. And I'm looking at the Medal of Freedom. So a traitor who left warriors behind in Afghanistan is honoring a traitor who left behind our warriors in Benghazi. That's a very sobering thought when you think about what these people have done while in office or when they held positions, and they're getting medals. I think a lot of Americans who know the truth and who do go to the right sources and understand what's happening with our government, with the deep state and whatever else, I think they're very disappointed, like you and I, shaking our heads. But I think it's disgusting. I know Hillary Clinton is a very divisive person. So yeah, it doesn't surprise me. I think Biden's catering to the radical left here and trying to please some people before he's got to leave office. That's my quick take on that.
It feels almost like it's just a good old boys club where you got to get in and you have to know the right people to get the right awards. And it's absolutely disgusting. And that point there that you made about leaving warriors in Afghanistan and also leaving warriors in Benghazi is dead on. Another recipient of the award who we would like to talk about who might be a bit more nefarious is George Soros. Based on the soundbite we just heard, he has his hands in just about every global scheme. Yeah. What are your thoughts on Mr. Soros receiving this reward?
Evil. And if you're a person that adheres to the biblical worldview, you understand this man is demonic. His influence, what he's trying to do, he hates America. You might want to say he hates humanity, but he just wants power, control, money for all the wrong reasons. And for him to get a medal, he's done a lot of damage in this country through his money of what he has supported and endorsed throughout the decades. And I think there's a small fragment of the population that really likes what he's doing. But those are the America haters. Those are the ones, obviously, they're not Christian. Obviously, those are the ones who really resist our Judeo-Christian foundations, the way America was founded. And he's been working overtime to try to destroy that, to try to eradicate our foundations, if that could be done. So yeah, I'm not surprised by Hillary getting it, but George Soros, again, you have to understand, these are people who are not trying to serve all Americans. They're trying to please whoever is behind their pulling their strings. That's a very frustrating one when it comes to Soros.
It is, but there's always got to be someone who funds the good old boys.
Yep.
He's the epitome of calling evil good. I mean, if you look at what he's done, I mean, he admitted on camera that he is amoral and tries to be moral. And then you look at the damage that he's done worldwide. He's responsible for the overthrow of many governments, but he's also responsible for putting in attorney generals, county attorneys, all these leftist radical attorneys that are throughout our country in these blue leftist states and allowing criminals to roam our streets. I don't see how anyone that is this evil can receive this type of award. And now we saw his son is stepping up to receive it, and he's going to carry the mantle forward from here after George, who's up there in age, passes.
It's somewhat prophetic, isn't it? Because the Bible talks about lawlessness. We're seeing that on steroids. And when you're talking about funding lawlessness, this goes back to Black Lives Matter, Global Network Foundation, Marxist-driven, China-driven, against the Judeo-Christian founding of our nation and against Christians and against biblical morality. But you hit it spot on, Ken. You said calling evil good. And we've got a segment of society that has no discernment, and they're very ignorant when it comes to that because they don't know the truth. Now, they can still be saved. Surprisingly, some of them, we might go, well, really, they can be saved? Yeah, well, we have a big God. But they don't understand spiritual things. They don't understand evil and good because they create their own truth, right? They see the world a certain way. So yeah, it's very interesting, the lawlessness. How do you have a country without borders, without laws, without God's laws, what we're all supposed to adhere to? And so this is an attempt to dismantle that and continue to chip away at the foundations of America.
Exactly. And they all aspire to the globalist agenda. One other person, and I talk about her in some of my teachings, and that's Jane Goodall. She was another recipient of this award. Let's listen to a quick soundbite of what she said recently at the World Economic Forum.
We need to eat less meat. We need to stop land being used for cattle and growing grain for the billions of animals that we keep in our intensive farms. And then finally, we cannot hide away from human population growth because it underlies so many of the other problems. All these things we talk about wouldn't be a problem if there was the size of population that there was 500 years ago.
David, it sounds like she's obviously a globalist, and cows and humans are bad for the planet.
Yes, population control, environmental extremism, right? Planet before people, as if there's not enough room on the planet. But people like this are dangerous. Their ideology is demonic, and it's absolutely an assault on God, an assault on the image of God, meaning every human being created in his image. So people are the problem. Sin is not the problem. Evil is not the problem. The devil's not the problem. It's people on this planet. The obvious solution, reduce the population. I mean, Bill Gates has been on this train for a while and so many others. And even in America, we've seen some policies that were going, really? So there's not enough space in some of our states, in the Midwest or Texas and in Utah, Colorado, other states. And it just doesn't make sense. But that's because there's this delusion. Of course, we know Satan is the father of lies who comes to kill, steal, and destroy. But there's this delusion. People hear these talking points, they go, yeah, help the cattle, eat less meat. That's a good idea. They can't think it through logically, or they can't reason about this very important topic to the conclusion that you've got to kill people. Euthanasia, abortion, the transgender, removing healthy body parts of young children. This is demonic at its core. And I think the church needs to wake up about some of these things.
Amen. Really, the recipients we covered seem to be pushing a satanic agenda, whether that's worshiping creation or elevating mankind to the status of gods. And a direct opposition to what God's word says. Let me just read for a second what Romans 1 says. Romans 1 verses 28 and following says, since they did not see fit to acknowledge God, God gave them up to a debased mind to do what ought not to be done. They were filled with all manner of unrighteousness, evil, covetousness, malice. They're full of every envy, murder, strife, deceit, maliciousness. They're gossips, slanderers, haters of God, insolent, haughty, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to parent, foolish, faithless, heartless, and ruthless. Though they know God's righteous decree that those who practice such things deserve to die, they not only do them, but give hearty approval to those who practice them. This is exactly what we're seeing.
Amen, Josh. Yes, and I think you nailed it the very end by continuing to say those who give approval. There are Christians, so-called Christians, professing Christians. There are some authentic Christians as well who approve of some of these things that are just not biblical. And one of the reasons for that, it's because of the lack of the biblical worldview, the declining biblical worldview.
Yes.
You might want to say biblical illiteracy in our churches in America. So we're not talking about just the general population that's approving of these things, but it's people in the church. Now, some of them mean well when they approve some of these unbiblical ideologies. They think they're being compassionate. They think they're being loving, but they're not telling the truth. They're not sharing the gospel, the whole counsel of God. They're not adhering to biblical principles.
You're absolutely right. And that biblical illiteracy is what Satan absolutely loves, because it takes the believer off course and allows him to have a heyday. It boggles my mind, but it's really where we're at as a society. And here's an exhortation that we need to take to heart. It's out of 3 John. How often do we read 3 John? But 3 John 11 says this, beloved, do not imitate evil, but imitate good. Whoever does good is from God. Whoever does evil has not seen God.
So, David, before we transition here, a pretty significant event just occurred this week, and that's the resignation of Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau. How do you see that play out as it affects the United States and certainly Canada and our border?
I've been speculating since what happened with our election here and what happened with the red wave, so to speak, in America. And I've been saying there's something going on in North America, meaning Canada, too. We remember several years ago, there was a resistance about the harsh policies, tyrannical policies on COVID by Justin Trudeau and up there in the Canadian government and the truckers convoy and the fight for freedom there. There's something going on in North America, I've been saying. And now to see this, my in-laws are from Toronto. They're from Canada. I also have relatives in Vancouver. And this is a pretty big surprise because a narcissist in power like Trudeau, they don't resign easily with pride and everything else when they think they're gods, small g. So this was a surprise. But then if you step back and look at the people, the momentum and what the people that were against some of these radical policies, whether it be globalism or socialism, they see they're starting to run out of other people's money, right? And by the way, his approval rating, what was it? When he took office, it was like 65%. And then it fell to 28% approval. That's horrific. So basically another far leftist bites the dust. But to see this happening, the polls show that liberals will badly lose to the official opposition conservatives in an election. And that election, according to their laws, must be held by October. A lot could happen between now and October. It's just very interesting to see this. So to see Trudeau, he's going to still be in office, right? He's not stepping down now. But he is resigning. They're going to get another leader in there. That's what's fascinating about this.
And that kind of leads into the next topic I want to cover, this border and immigration issue and what occurred in New Orleans here last week. Actually, it's happening all over the world, and that's the resurgence of Islamic terrorism. So let's take a look at this clip, and I want to get your comment.
We begin with the urgent search for answers after the horrific and deadly terror attack in New Orleans. The FBI now believes the suspect, Shamsuddin Jabbar, acted alone and that he was, quote, 100% inspired by ISIS. Surveillance video showing that rented white pickup truck on Canal Street, then turning onto Bourbon Street, evading a parked police car, then speeding down three blocks, people scrambling to get out of the way. the truck slamming into a construction crane, the driver killed in a gun battle with police. On the back of his truck, an ISIS flag wrapped in a gray jacket.
The FBI says Jabbar drove that rented F-150 truck from Houston to New Orleans on December 31st, posting multiple videos to Facebook along the way, claiming he joined ISIS before last summer and pledged allegiance to the group.
What I can tell you right now is that he was 100% inspired by ISIS.
A New Year's Eve attack on scores of women in Germany has one city in that country on edge. Over the weekend, thousands took to the streets of Cologne to protest a string of vicious sexual attacks by men who were reportedly of Arab and North African descent. Those attacks come as German leaders face mounting pressure to deal with the influx of migrants from the Middle East.
Tensions are rising in Germany's fourth largest city. Protesters took to the streets of Cologne over the weekend, furious about a string of shocking sexual assaults. The attacks happened during New Year's celebrations in Cologne's main square, when hundreds of young men, reportedly of Arab and North African origin, attacked scores of women. Germany's Chancellor Angela Merkel is facing tremendous pressure after allowing more than 1 million refugees into the country in 2015. Over the weekend, some 2,000 anti-Muslim protesters also took to the streets, demanding that Germany closes its borders to refugees.
You're listening to Understanding Our Times. Our guest this week is David Fierazzo, the host of the weekly podcast, Worldview Matters.
So, David, we're seeing this worldwide invasion of not just illegal immigrants, but mostly Islamists. And Josh and I were just over in Europe, and we saw firsthand the effects that this is having on governments, families, and especially the church. Unfortunately, this is happening everywhere. I want to get your take on the video we just watched, the consequences of allowing people to come into our country unfettered, undocumented, and the results of that.
This is one of the many reasons President Donald Trump was reelected, our borders. We borders, language, culture. If you don't have borders, you don't have a nation. I think Ronald Reagan said that. I may have paraphrased Reagan there. But this wake-up call, it came way too late. Because look at what the Biden administration has allowed. Now, this is what's sad. We understand that this has been a battle, the left and the right, but now it's over 10 million illegal immigrants. We don't know the exact numbers, but this has been an ongoing problem, and we see some of these attacks. My question has always been, and Ken, you might want to speak to this as well. My question has been, why hasn't there been more attacks? It's really interesting with the number of people coming across the border, unknown backgrounds, unknown identities, bred across the country, in some cases, shipped by our tax dollars, shipped to different places, and then given a cell phone and given all these different blessings in America, most people had to work really hard for if you come here from another country, but not recently. This has been a huge problem. I think we're very vulnerable and we may be seeing more of this. I hope and pray for the safety of our nation, our communities, but the damage has been done and it's like a ticking time bomb. But Ken, I would love to hear your thoughts on it as well.
We're seeing, and what we've seen recently, are individuals that aspire to Islam. But I don't think we should be fooled, because the FBI director himself has warned that there are terror cells here and they're spread all across the country. The estimate is over 300,000 that want to do harm just right here in our own country. Those are astronomical numbers when you look at it. By allowing this to come into our country undocumented, we don't know who they are. We don't even know where they are. They are very patient and they are very organized. And I wouldn't be surprised if soon and very soon we see organized attacks right here in our country.
That's what I feel. I feel ultimately they're just waiting for the green light to go and move forward. We know that they try to work in a cooperative manner. We saw that with October 7th. Hamas was out of step for a moment. We're waiting for someone to step out or for the green light to be given. And let's keep in mind, we're not talking about the Muslims that are practicing their religion peacefully. We're talking about Islamist terrorists who really want to see the destruction of America and the destruction of Western values, the destruction of Israel.
And it doesn't take a lot of numbers if you understand how many hijackers did it take, right? On 9/11, or to blow up something, or to set a bomb somewhere. It doesn't take a lot. And the numbers are overwhelming. It's daunting. As far as who's come across our border, that we don't know what their ideology is and where they live, where they are in the country. but a reminder we are not to live in fear. Because God is in control of all this. He is sovereign, and we just have to keep trusting him one day at a time, but also be discerning. These things are happening, and maybe with the right policies. I think the Trump administration definitely has their work cut out for them.
David, we're looking at all these issues that affect our government, the culture, and our families, but how should the church be addressing these issues? I think that's so important because as Josh and I have traveled across the country, and we've listened to pastors, and they're like on islands by themselves. No one's addressing these important issues, especially when it comes to immigration and especially radical Islam. Should pastors be addressing this in their churches?
Simple answer is yes, and thank God for the remnant who are. But it comes down to this. One of my favorite liberty pastors, Paul Blair, said, "What part of your life is Jesus not Lord over?" The Bible has something to say about every aspect of life and living in our nation. When it comes to immigration, that's also an issue that we could talk about biblical illiteracy again, because we just celebrated Christmas a few weeks ago, and we understand that some say Jesus was an immigrant, and they're making up the social justice crowd. So they're taking the Bible out of context. They're taking the immigration debate and saying, yeah, we should help orphans and widows. And they're not looking at the numbers and looking at the facts of all the men of fighting age, 20s and 30s, the males that are coming over in massive numbers compared to women and children. And you could go on and on, just talk facts. But people, they hear the talking points and it sounds compassionate. Yes, of course we should take care of the orphan and the widow, but they miss the context, they miss the facts, and they miss the bigger view. And our protecting national defense is a huge issue here. But yes, we need to be talking about these things. Why aren't certain pastors talking about these things? I think they don't want to lose congruence. They don't want to lose a tithe. And that comes to any controversial biblical issue that they call political, that they're avoiding from the pulpit. They're self-censoring. I believe that's wrong. I think probably most of your listeners also believe that's wrong. We should be addressing every issue because it is biblical.
Yeah. Political issues are moral issues, and moral issues are biblical issues, is exactly what you're saying here. And so pastors must be addressing that. We must be willing to move to churches that deal with those things, because a worldview absolutely matters. Amen. When it comes down to it, we must have a biblical worldview.
Yeah, you're absolutely right, Josh, because we know that every culture is going to be dominated by something, whether it's secular humanism in government, Judeo-Christian values, or the theocracy of Islam, which we're witnessing right now, right here in America and across the world. And we know that what we're facing now, Islam, I'm not talking about good standing Muslims that practice their faith in peace. I'm talking about Islam, which is the exact opposite of Christianity.
We have a theme that keeps coming up, and that is Christians need to know our Bibles better, to discern.
You're absolutely right. Discernment is key. We have to be in the Word so that we know the Word, so that the Lord is not only sanctifying us, but helping us to have a biblical literacy so we can live as salt and light in an extremely dark world that's getting darker day by day. And we know it's going to get darker until the tribulation period. And at that tribulation period, it's going to get very dark and all hell will nearly break loose. But then at the end, Jesus will return and he will make all things new and right.
Josh, you mentioned salt and light, and I thank you for bringing that up. I think there's also some ignorance about how to apply that. How does that apply to my life, being salt and light, being a preservative, shining the light of Christ, exposing the darkness, but pointing to Christ and also adding flavor to the culture, being a preserving influence for righteousness, being ambassadors for Christ. I think with all that's going on in the world, all that you guys talk about, all that I talk about on Worldview Matters, people tend to go, wow, there's a lot going on, and it is potentially overwhelming. So friends, that's my encouragement to you today, to consider how you are an ambassador. How do you represent our King, Jesus, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, Prince of Peace, Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father? How do we represent our King? How do we live for him? And so people know that we believe in the one true God.
Absolutely. David, I want to thank you. Our guest today has been David Fiorazzo, Worldview Matters. You can catch him on his podcast, davidfiorazzo.com. David, thank you for all you do. God bless you and keep up the fight, my friend.
And may God enlarge your territory, gentlemen. Thank you so much for all you do, too. God bless you.
David was great, and it's so encouraging to listen to him and to interact with him, because we are living in really hard, dark days. And what he talked about last about being an ambassador is deeply important. It comes from 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Let me read this for a moment and encourage our hearts on this. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, 17. He says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. So what do? We implore you on behalf of Christ to be reconciled to God." Friends, that's our message. We must be reconciled to God. God has never moved. Humanity moved away from God. We are broken, sinful people because of the fall that separates a fallen humanity from a holy God. Jesus is the answer. He's our reconciliation. I beg you, place your faith in Jesus today. And if you've already placed your faith in Jesus, look to him and fight forward as an ambassador, proclaiming the good news to those who are near and those who are far. Friends, this has been a great week together.
Amen. Well, that's it for this week. Please join us again next week. And remember to keep looking up, for your redemption draws near.
Contact us through our website, olivetreeviews.org. That's olivetreeviews.org. Call us Central Time at 763-559-4444. That's 763-559-4444. We get our mail when you write to Olive Tree Ministries and Jan Markell, Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota, 55311. That's Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota, 55311. All gifts are tax deductible. You didn't ask to be here for such a time as this, but you are still here on assignment. It is a privilege and a challenge. We are watching the final act of a long drama that is allowing all things to fall into place.